Hopefully that will stay on there. One disadvantage, you know, wearing my shirt and tie, I suppose. It's nice to be here tonight in New Cumnock, just to pass on God's message. I've got a short reading to make from the Word of God. It's in Luke chapter 23. If you've got a Bible, if you turn to it and read along. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry about it. It's not a problem. I'll try and read as clearly as possible. And hopefully you'll be able to make out what I'm saying. It's on Luke chapter 23, and starting reading verse 13. It says, "And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, You have brought this man unto me," that is the Lord Jesus he's talking about, "as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Who for a certain sedition or uprising or rebellion made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. And Pilate, therefore willing to release Jesus, spoke again to them, but they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition, or uprising, rebellion, and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will." And we do trust that God will add a blessing to that short reading of his word this evening. You know, I suppose it's no surprise tonight that when you come in here that we read a passage of the scriptures that tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm sure if you've been here before, you'll have heard that name mentioned. Probably, I would hope, on every single occasion that you've sat in these benches, you've heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, we as Christians, and the Christians that gather here, and along with the Christians that gather down in Auchinleck, you know, we believe that Jesus Christ is the answer for this world's problems. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that is able to forgive sins. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that is able to give us a hope of heaven. And we base our whole faith tonight on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I suppose for you to come into this little room tonight, on this bleak and miserable February evening, I'm sure it's no surprise that we've heard and we've read about the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, I just want to focus our attention just for a little while tonight, not so much on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to think of this other man that we've read about tonight. And no Pilate. I want to think of the man called Barabbas. You know, this was a man, and we read about him, we read about the type of lifestyle he lived, we read about the type of man he was. The Bible tells us that he was in prison, he was in jail, because he was rebellious, and he was a murderer. You know, the one thing we learn right at the very start about this man was that he was a sinner. You know, I'm sure it's probably the same way in which you've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure you've heard tonight that you're a sinner, you've heard about sin. You know, this man just resembles that tonight. And I want us all tonight just to try and put ourselves into this man's shoes just for a little while tonight. Just to place ourselves where he was. A man that was rebellious. A man that was a murderer. A man that was just in the very point of death. Just about to have his life taken from him. Just about to be executed for the things that he had done wrong. And I want us tonight just to put ourselves in his shoes. And just to consider ourselves just as if we were Barabbas tonight. Because you know, really deep down, none of us is any different from Barabbas. You know, this was a man, and we've already read that he was rebellious. We've already read that he was a murderer. And to sum all that up, we'll just say that Barabbas was a sinner. And that's just the same for you, and that's just the same for me tonight. We're no different from Barabbas. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 23, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says there's no difference. The Bible puts us all on the same plane. And we've got a tendency to separate ourselves, haven't we, from one another. We've got a tendency to think ourselves a wee bit better than others. And some people have got low self-esteem and they esteem themselves a wee bit less than other people. But you know, God doesn't see us as different. God puts us all on the same level. God says, look, there's no difference between anybody tonight. He says, you've all sinned. And you've all come short of the glory of God. And that goes for Barabbas tonight. And that goes for me standing up on this platform. And that goes for you tonight sitting in these benches. You're a sinner. And it's God that says it. You know, you might be here and you might say, well, I'm never as bad as him. Never as bad as Barabbas. This was a man that was involved in a rebellion against the Roman Empire. This was a man that, as a result of that rebellion, took somebody's life. I've never done that. I'm not as bad as him. I'm not as guilty as he is. I'm not as bad as him. I'm not as sinful as him. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says if we break the law in one point, then it says we've broke the whole law. You know, I'm sure you, I don't need to stand up here in front of you and tell you the Ten Commandments that God issued to Moses are way back in the beginning of the Bible. And God told him to write them down. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt honour the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt honour thy mother and thy father. I don't have to stand up here tonight and tell you them. But I'm sure I don't have to tell you tonight that you've broke one of them tonight. Well, you might not be guilty of murder. You maybe never have taken another person's life. Maybe you've told a lie. Maybe you've bore false witness. Maybe you've told a little story that wasn't true. Maybe you've stole. Maybe you've taken something that didn't belong to you. You know, it's in every one of us tonight. And we've got this thing that we gauge sin from bad to good. And there's sins that are serious and there's sins that are not so serious. And God says no. God says, look, he says, if you break the law in one point, he says, then you're guilty of breaking the whole law. And so God puts us all in the same place tonight. God says, look, he says, you're sinners. You're separated from me. You're far away from me. Because that's what sin's done to us tonight. Sin has separated us from God. You go back to the very beginning of our Bible and you see when sin came into the world, what did it do? It separated man from God. You know, God used to come down into the garden and God used to have communion with Adam and Eve in the garden. And God used to enjoy coming down there and just spending time with them. Just enjoying their company and them enjoying his company. And then Adam, what did Adam decide to do? Adam decided he would just rebel against God, didn't he? He decided he would just disobey God. And God gave him one rule. God says, listen, he says, you can eat all the trees around about in this garden I've provided for you. He says, but don't eat of this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he says, the day you eat of that, he says, you'll die. And what does Adam do? Adam just does exactly what God tells him not to do. And Adam takes the fruit of that tree. And Adam died. Boy, didn't he drop dead physically? But Adam became separated from God. A great gulf between God and men. And God wasn't able to come down and have the same communion with men. God wasn't able to come down and enjoy our company because we had done something that offended him. We had rebelled against him. We'd been disobedient to him. And that same has passed through from Adam right along generation after generation after generation up till now, the generation of 2006, 2007. And you know, we're all the same. We've all rebelled against God. We've all turned our back and we've all decided just to do our own thing. We've all decided just to go our own way. And so really, if you boil it all down, we're no different from Barabbas. You know what God's standard? God's got a much higher standard than us. God's got a much higher standard than even the law of our land. You know what God says? He says, look, he says, see if you look at somebody and you hate them in your heart. He says, you're guilty of murder. You know, I'm sure there's nobody in here tonight who can never say they've maybe looked at someone and disliked them or hated them. You know what God says? God sees that so serious. He says, you're guilty as if you've murdered them. You know what else it says? He says, look, he says, if you look at a woman to lust after her, he says, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. That's how holy God is tonight. That's how holy the God is that made us. And God says, look, even just the thoughts of your mind, if you don't even need to carry them out, he says, you're already guilty. And that's how holy God is. And we've fallen far short of that standard tonight. God's standard's perfection. And you just have to look about. You just have to look into my own heart. And you just have to look into your own heart tonight. And we know we're no perfect. We know we've fallen so far short. And so really we're no different from Barabbas tonight. We're just the same as them. We're just sinners. And it's not me that's standing up here preaching at you to tell you you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. It's God that's telling us tonight we've all sinned. He says there's no difference. You might be here and you might say, well, you live a good sort of life. Well, God's no real interest in a good sort of life. You know what God says? He says, all your righteousnesses, all the good things that you think you're able to do, he says, they're just like filthy rags. They're nothing to God. God's no interested in good, clean living. You know, God's no interested in what we do for charity. God's no interested in how we conduct ourselves. God says, look, he says, you're all the same. He says, you're all sinners. And so there we can all relate ourselves to Barabbas sitting here. We can all confess that we're sinners tonight, or we should be able to confess that we're sinners. You know, there's something else about this man. You know, we realised where sin had taken him. You know, here he was, and what does it tell us? It says that he was in prison. He was bound. He was enslaved. You know, I wonder how many of us have been there. I wonder how many of sin has taken us to that point. But it just makes us feel bound. It enslaves us. It makes us do things that we maybe don't even want to do. It's got such a hold over us, such a grip over us. It controls us. That's really the same for all of us tonight. Sin controls our lives. Sin's enslaved us. Sin has taken away our free will. And sin dominates our lives, every one of us. You know, I suppose looking at this man's life, it was easy to see that sin had dominated his life. It was easy to see what sin had done to him. Sin had turned him into a murderer. And because of that, he was being bound up, he was being held captive as a result of that. And you know, I suppose there's sometimes people in our own society, and we look at them and we say, well, sin's got a real hold on them, hasn't it? There's certain elements of society, and we look at them and we say, oh, look what sin's done to him. Look, sin's in total control of his life. Don't we? And we see the people that are addicted to certain things. We see people that are drug addicts. We see people that are alcoholics. We see people that are addicted to gambling. We see people that are addicted to womanising. We see all these things, and we're able to say, without a shadow of a doubt, oh, look what sin's done to their life. Sin is controlling them. You know, I wonder how many of us in here is maybe controlled by greed. Well, it's no evident for everybody else to see. And maybe our next door neighbours don't see it, and maybe the people that we bump, rub shoulders with don't see it, but I wonder how many of us tonight is controlled by greed. How many of us is controlled by lust? Looking at things and longing at the right bearers. Many of us is controlled by telling lies. You know, we think of these, as we already go back to, you know, sin hasn't got degrees. God sees us all the same. Sin's sin, we go. And sin controls all of our lives to one extent or another. Sin is enslaved, and sin had, the end result for this man Barabbas was that he was enslaved, he was incarcerated. You know, he was told to do things when he went, he didn't get a free choice. He didn't get to decide when he wanted to do things, or who he wanted to do them with, or where he wanted to go. You know, this man was told. These prison guards would come into that cell and they would say, right, up, and he just had to get up. This man didn't even have control over when he wanted to go to the toilet. These men would tell him when he wanted to go. You know, such was the control that this had over him. He was enslaved. And that's what sin does to us tonight. It enslaves us. It takes control of our lives. It takes control of our minds. It tells us what to do. It tells us where we're going. It tells us who we want to be with. And sin just takes over, and sin just controls our life. Every one of us tonight, we're no different from each another. Sin controls us. Sin has got a grip on us that is far too strong for us to break. Sin's got a grip on us that we don't have the power to dissolve. And every one of us tonight is enslaved and under the power of sin tonight. And so was this man Barabbas. There he was lying in that dungeon cell. And there he was under a power that he couldn't break, a power that he couldn't control, a power that controlled him. And so it is with us tonight. We're all under that same power of sin. You know, I want to tell you what else about this man. This man was just a few hours away from death. And that's what sin does to us tonight, you know. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ says? He says, the wages of sin is death. You know, that's the end result of sin. People die. Or we lose our physical bodies. Our physical bodies die and they go back to the ground and they return to dust. But you know, far more than that, they die. The end result of sin is death, spiritual death. And if our sins don't get sorted out, if that power that controls us that never gets forgiven, but now that power never gets broken, then you know the end result of sin is that we'll die spiritually and we'll be separated from God, not only for this little time in this world, but you know we'll be separated from God forever, for all eternity. And that's where this man was. He was just in the very point of death. You know, the Bible tells us, he says, you know, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. You know, I can only imagine the thoughts that must have been going through Barabbas' mind. You know, death's a scary thing, isn't it? You know, I'm not sure, I mean, I'm sure there must have been someone that you either know or were acquainted with, or somebody in your family that must have died, and you know, it brings home the reality, doesn't it? Death's quite a scary thing. And people insist that there's nothing beyond death. People insist that there's this is all there is to life, and once we've lived out our so many years that God gives us in this world, then you know we just die and our bodies go back to the ground. That's the end of it all. But you put a man in his deathbed and he's facing death, looking death in the face, just about to pass from this time into eternity, And don't tell me for a moment there's not a thought goes through his mind about what comes after. Now, I'm sure it's crossed your mind tonight. It crossed my mind plenty of times when I was still a sinner, unsaved. Plenty of times it crossed my mind, what comes after this? What happens after we die? You know, I was fortunate enough to be brought up to be told what happened after we died. I was told that there was two places that we would go to. We could either go to heaven if we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and had our sins forgiven, or we would go to hell if we'd never received him as our saviour. You know, the thought of going to hell petrified me. What a thought, you know, to think that you could go to bed at night and never wake up in this scene of time, and you would find yourself in a lost eternity forever. And think of the thoughts that must have been going through Barabbas' mind. There he was, just a few moments away, a few hours away, when he could have been breathing his last. A few hours and he could have been out into eternity, and he knew where he was going. His sins hadn't been forgiven. This sin still had the power and control over him. He knew that if he was going to die, then he was going to face God's judgment. He wasn't going to heaven to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to face separation from God forever. And here he is, sitting in this plunging cell, and these thoughts are going through his mind. I wonder how many times they've went through our minds. I wonder if we've ever had near-death experiences. I wonder if there's ever been a point in your life where you can look back and think, you know, I could have been out in eternity. My life in this world could have been over. And I wonder if it ever dawns on you where you would have been. You know, don't believe for a minute that this is all there is to life. It's a pretty pointless existence if this is all there is to life. We live here for so many years. We have families, some of us. We get married, some of us. We work, some of us. And then after so many years, it just all comes to an end. And that's all there is to this life. You know, don't believe that for a minute. God gives us clear instruction as to what was this life. And the Bible tells us of two places. The Bible tells us of heaven for those that have repented of their sins and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their saviour. And the Bible tells us of hell and the lake of fire, where those go that refuse to repent of their sins and those that refuse to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their saviour. So here's Barabbas, and he's sitting in this little cell, just pondering what's going to happen, pondering what's really into the great unknown, pondering where he's going to be once he closes his eyes in death. And all these thoughts are going through his mind. And maybe that's like you tonight. Maybe you're aware tonight that you're a sinner just like him. Maybe never committed murder. Maybe never taken another man's life. And maybe you're in here tonight. You know you're a sinner. You know that you're no perfect. You've never reached God's perfect standard. You know that you fall far short of his glory. You know that you're never going to be able to achieve that on your own. Maybe you're in here tonight and maybe you're bound by sin, and maybe you're well aware of it. Maybe you know that sin controls you. Maybe you know that sin's dominating you. Maybe you know that sin's making you do things that you didn't want to do. Sin makes you go places you don't want to go. Sin makes you be with people you don't really want to be with. And you know that sin's controlling you tonight. You know that sin, and you know that sin's taking control of your mind and your body. Maybe you're in here tonight. Maybe that's how you're feeling, just as if you're just captive, as if you're bound, as if you're enslaved. Maybe that's how you're feeling tonight, and you're well aware it's sin. And maybe you're in, and maybe you're considering the end result of sin. Maybe you're considering death. You know, death's not just for old people. You know, that was a theory that goes out the window, isn't it? You know, I was speaking at Tarbolton last week, or the week before, another little church just like this, and I was telling them that the platform that I stood on was the platform where my own papa had died when he was 82 years of age. Standing, preaching the same message that I'm preaching tonight. Telling people how they needed to be saved. Telling people how they were sinners. Telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he was the saviour of the world. And right in the middle of his message, God decided his time in this world was over, and God took his life. 82 years of age. He was an old man. Now, you know, I related that with a young man that we knew just a few weeks ago, only 26, just a couple of years older than me. And you know, he went out one day and decided that he would buy a return ticket to Newcastle from Ayr. And you know, the police arrived at the door and they says, "We've just found David dead, 26 years of age, a massive epileptic seizure, out into eternity." Thankfully, both of these people were trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Both had committed their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Both had been saved. Both had been born again. Both had their sins forgiven. And for them tonight, they're in heaven. But you know, I wonder if it had been me. I wonder if it had been you tonight. Where would you have been? And don't count on getting old in this world. Don't count ahead so many years. Because at any moment in time, God can say, look, your time in this world's over. You know what James says? He says, what's your life? He says it's just like a vapour that appears for a little while and then it just vanishes away. Don't boast about time tonight. The Bible says don't boast about tomorrow, because we don't know what a day will bring forth. And there was Barabbas, and he couldn't boast about tomorrow, because as far as he was concerned, he would be dead tomorrow. And as far as I, any one of us is concerned tonight, any one of us could be dead tomorrow. That's the reality. Any one of us could be out into eternity. I wonder where we would be tonight. And these were the thoughts that was going through Barabbas' mind. Quite depressing thoughts, aren't they? Quite depressing thoughts, to think of your end, to think where you're going to spend eternity, to think of the life you've lived, to think of the sin that's empowered you and taken control of you. Quite depressing thoughts. That's how Barabbas must have felt sitting there, eh? Quite depressed, quite low. And then there comes a rattle at his cell door, and the soldier walks in and he says, you're free to go. What a thought must have went through his mind, eh? Free to go? A few hours ago I was just facing death, and now you're telling me I'm free to go? I'm sure there must have been 101 questions running through Barabbas' mind. How can this be? How can I go free? Surely I've got to pay the price for the punishment for the sins that I've committed. Surely I must be punished for what I've done wrong. And yet here they are telling me I can go free. And I'm sure the soldier must have turned to him and says, oh, he says, well, somebody else is going to die in your place. What a thought, eh? There he is in the very pit of depression. All these thoughts come through his mind about his death and where he's going to be after that. And then someone comes in and tells him he needn't worry about it, because somebody else is going to die for him. You know, tonight, that's the good news I've got for you tonight. Oh, I may have depressed you about your sin, I may have depressed you about your end, I may have depressed you about death and hell, but you know, I've got good news for you tonight. The best news you'll ever hear, the best news I've got to tell you, that somebody's died for you. You know, the same person that died for a Barabbas has died for you. You know, he might have been there in a physical sense, and it might have been more real to him in a sense. But you know, the same person that died for Barabbas died for you. And we read about that man, didn't we? That man that was brought before Pilate. And what does Pilate say when he looks at me? He says, I don't find anything wrong with this man. He says, in fact, he says, I sent him to Herod, and Herod didn't find anything wrong with this man. You know, this was a man that was different from Barabbas. This was a man that was different from you and me. This was a man that was different from any other man that had ever lived in this world. This man had no fault in him. You know what Pilate says? He says, this man's no worthy of death. What did we just say concerning death? He says, the wages of sin is death. Therefore, everybody that has committed sin is worthy of death. And yet, Pilate looks at this man and says, this man's no worthy of death. Why was he no worthy of death? Because he'd never sinned. He'd never committed any crime. He'd never done anything wrong. Think of those 10 commandments we were thinking of earlier on. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Thou shalt honour thy mother and thy father. Thou shalt not covet. Lord Jesus Christ had kept every single one of them. Lord Jesus Christ had never let himself down. Lord Jesus Christ had never let his father down. Lord Jesus Christ was sinless. Lord Jesus Christ was holy. Lord Jesus Christ maintained the standard that God gave him. God says, he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Perfection. And yet here was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he maintained that standard. He kept that standard. He was the only one that could stand up and say, without sin. The Bible says concerning him, he did no sin. He knew no sin. In him was no sin. He couldn't even have the possibility of sinning. And yet this is the one that comes out of his cell next to Barabbas', and he's led out to die, taking Barabbas' place, paying the punishment for Barabbas. You know, I wonder if you've ever accepted that tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ paid the punishment for you. You know, what a great thought, eh? To think that someone would be willing to do that. To think that somebody loved you enough to pay the punishment for you. You know, the Bible tells us that greater love is no man than this, and a man lays down his life for his friend. And you know, sometimes we read admirable stories about people that, through dire circumstances, have laid down their life for their family. And some people that have laid down their life for their friends. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't lay down his life for his family and his friends. You know, it says, while we were yet without God, while we were without strength, Christ died for us. While we were still far away from him, while we were still sinning against him, while we were still rebelling against him, while sin still had that control over our lives, that's when Jesus looked down and he saw us, and he says, I'm going to take the punishment for them. I'm going to die for them. I'm going to take the punishment that they deserve. And just like Barabbas sitting in that little cell tonight, what brilliant news to his ears. but brilliant news to his ears that someone had taken the punishment for him, that somebody had paid the price in full, and because of that he didn't have to die. Because of that he wouldn't have to be separated from God. What great news I've brought to you tonight. That's why it's the gospel. The gospel means good news, and that's why it's good news tonight. To tell you of one that has taken your place, one that has paid the punishment, one that has done all that is necessary for you to be saved tonight. You know, we think of the response of Barabbas. I don't know how he responded. Maybe shock. Maybe you're shocked tonight to think that somebody would actually do that for you. You know, but we certainly don't read of, you know, Barabbas putting up a fight. And why is it that so many of us put up a fight? You know, Barabbas heard the good news. Somebody's going to die for you. Jesus Christ is going to die for you. He's going to go to Calvary. He's going to take the punishment. He's going to lay down his life. Barabbas doesn't put up a fight about it. You know, Barabbas doesn't say, oh no, I insist in dying. Barabbas doesn't say, oh no, let me pay my own punishment. Let me be crucified. Take me out and crucify me. Nail me to a cross. You don't hear Barabbas saying anything like that. And yet why is it there's so many people in our society, and people even in this hall tonight, and you hear the good news about a Saviour that has died for you, a Saviour that's taken the punishment for you, a Saviour that has made a way of escape for you, and yet you turn round and you say, no, just let me take my own punishment. Just let me take the punishment. I'm guilty. Let me take my own punishment. Let me bear the punishment for my sin. Why is it there's people tonight, and that's how they live their life? There's a great Saviour that's presented to you tonight, a Saviour that's done all the work. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ cried when he was on the cross? He says, it's finished. The work that his Father had given him to do, the work in order to save men and women, in order to forgive men and women's sins, the work was all done. And yet there's men and women and young people in our world today, and instead of just accepting what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, instead of just believing in him, just trusting him as their Saviour, you know, they will insist that they'll take the punishment themselves. You know, if you go through life refusing to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, if you go through life refusing to acknowledge that when he died on that cross at Calvary, he was dying for you, you go through life refusing to acknowledge that he's done away with your sin, that he's paid the punishment, then you know you will be punished. You know, just because the Lord Jesus Christ has died doesn't mean that everybody's going to be saved. It doesn't mean that everybody's sins forgiven. Oh, he's made it possible for everybody's sins to be forgiven. He's made it possible for your sins to be forgiven and for my sins to be forgiven. He's made it possible for all the people that surround us in this little hall tonight for their sins to be forgiven. But just because he's died doesn't mean that they're all forgiven. You know, Barabbas had to believe it. You know, Barabbas could have just put up a fight and decided, no, well, I'll just go ahead and take my own punishment. I'll just go ahead and let them crucify me. I'll just go ahead and let them make me a public spectacle, and I'll pay the punishment for my sin. He could have done that, but didn't he? He just let the Lord Jesus Christ do it for him. You know, that's all the Lord Jesus Christ is asking for us tonight. Lord Jesus Christ is just wanting us just to realise that he's done it for us. And when he said the work was done, the work was done. Your sin's been paid for. The punishment for your sin has been paid in full. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid it. Why did he pay it? I don't know. Because he loved you. Why other reason would he do it? Are we worthy of it? Do we deserve it? Does any of us deserve it? Not at all. I haven't got an answer as to why he done it. Only the answer I've got is that he must have loved us. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us enough to take his own self to that cross of Calvary and there to be made sin for us. You know, for this man Barabbas, he was contemplating crucifixion, a horrible way of death. You know, we don't read really what happens to Barabbas after this. We don't know where he goes. We don't know how he goes on to live his life. We don't know if he was ever really grateful for that substitution that the Lord Jesus Christ made for him. You know, we just have to kind of surmise a wee bit. You know, I wonder if once he got out of that little cell, you know, if he maybe made his way with the crowd up to Calvary with the rest of them. And he saw that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one that had never done anything wrong. That one that had never said a wrong word. That one that had never let a wrong word, a wrong thought enter into his mind. That one who had never had a wrong motive come out of his heart. I wonder if he watched him with the rest of the crowd make his way up Calvary. There he was with a back that was torn like a ploughed field. A face that was marred more than any man's. A face that was dripping with the spittle of men as they spat upon him. A face that was buffeted from side to side when they bound his eyes and they says, punched him in the face and they says, tell us who it is that's hitting you. I wonder if he watched that alone, that man making his way up Calvary, bearing that cross on his shoulders. But I wonder if deep in his heart there was a deep sense of appreciation for that man, realising that he took his place, realising it should have been him that was making his way up that hill, realising it should have been him that was carrying that cross in his back, realising it was him that's face should have been marred more than any man's, realising it was him that should have had the spittle of men running down his face. And I wonder, as he saw that man making his way up Calvary, I wonder if he had a deep sense of appreciation in his heart for what he did. You know, I wonder if you've got a deep sense of appreciation for what he did. I wonder, as you picture in your mind the Lord Jesus Christ making his way from that judgment hall and making his way through the streets of Jerusalem and making his way up that hill of Golgotha, where he was going to be crucified, bearing that cross on his shoulders, the only innocent man ever to live in this world, the only man never to sin, the only man that met God's holy standard of perfection. I wonder, as you see him making his way up Calvary, I wonder if you appreciate it tonight. Appreciate it because he did it for you. Appreciate it because he did it for me. I wonder if we've ever thanked the Lord Jesus Christ for doing it for us. I wonder if we've ever just said thank you. I wonder if we've ever thanked God for sending his son to do it for us. You know, that's all that the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for. He's just wanting for us to believe it. Just to trust it. Just to take God at his word. You know, God doesn't tell lies. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't tell lies. Or else he'd fail to be the person he is tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ said the work was done. That the problem with your sin has been dealt with. The punishment has been paid. The price has been paid in full tonight. And all the Lord Jesus Christ is asking is that we would just believe it. You know, I don't know how Barabbas went on to live his life. You'd like to think that after an experience like that, a near-death experience when his life was almost taken away from him, that you would think he would live his life a wee bit different. Considering the man that had taken his place at Calvary, you would think he would maybe live his life a wee bit differently. But no, we're not told. We're just off to surmise tonight. But you know, I wonder tonight if you've ever appreciated the Lord Jesus Christ took your place. The Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the punishment that you should have paid. I wonder how if you do believe that, I wonder how your life marks up to it tonight. I wonder if it's different from what it was before you realised it. I wonder if you hate sin the way he hates sin. You know, it was sin that put him on the cross. It was sin that made him die. It was sin that hung him there. It was sin that made God clothe the whole place in darkness for 3 hours while he punished his son. And men couldn't even look upon that because it was so severe. It was sin that did that to him. I wonder if we really, truly appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ dying for our sins, then surely our lives will be different. Surely we'll not enjoy sin. How can we enjoy something that did that to the man that took our place? You know, I wonder how our lives mark up tonight. But you know, first and foremost, you know, we need to just believe it's true. Just take your place with Barabbas. He didn't fight about it. He didn't put up any argument. He didn't insist on paying his own debt. He didn't insist on trying to think another way. He didn't come out of that cell and say, well, listen, if you let me pay so much, I'll know I'm free. He didn't try any of his bribes or his anything like that. You know, he just accepted that Jesus had died for him. And tonight, that's all God's wanting you to do. God's just wanting you to accept that Jesus has died for you. The price is paid. It's all done in full. There's nothing left to do. All the Lord Jesus Christ is asking that you believe it. And if you believe it tonight, you genuinely believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sin, then surely you'll repent of that sin. Turn your back on it. Sin that has wasted your life. Sin that has dominated you from you were a little child up until now. Sin that has taken control of your life. Repent of it. Turn your back upon it. Forsake it. And follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know you can't have both worlds. That's the reality of it. You can't on the one hand say that Jesus died for your sin and you believe it, and then go on living in sin and try to enjoy it. It doesn't match up, you know. You know, if we say in our hearts that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we say that our sins have been forgiven, then you know we'll turn our back in sin. We'll not want any more to do with it. We'll not be interested in it. We'll not be interested in the pleasures that it offers. We'll not be interested in the lifestyle it's got to give us. We'll want to turn our back in sin. That's what Jesus says. He says, repent for your sins. Turn your back upon them. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a simple message tonight. It's a good message. It's a brilliant message to bring to people. People that were just where Barabbas was, sitting there at the very point of death, depressed about life, depressed about sin, depressed about their future, depressed about going to hell. All these thoughts running through their minds. What a brilliant message tonight. Jesus Christ has taken your place. Jesus Christ has paid the price in full. And all the Lord Jesus Christ asks you, just believe it and live your life as a result of that. That's just my short message for you tonight. I hope you take it seriously. And I hope you think about these things. And I do trust that before long you might trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Just believe what he says tonight. That's all I ask of us. Just faith. shall we pray? Father, as we come into your presence, we just come in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this good news message that we've got to tell, Father. We thank you for a Saviour that has taken our place, a Saviour that has died in our stead, a Saviour that has taken the punishment that we deserve to take. And Father, we just thank you. We don't know why he's done it. We can't explain. The only reason given in the Bible is that he loved us. We remember the words of Scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the only reason. There was never anything of us that would have warranted your salvation. There was never anything in us that deserved for the Lord Jesus Christ to come from heaven to this world to die for us. There's nothing in us. It was just your undying love. And we thank you for that love. A love that sent your Son to Calvary. A love that made him endure all that was there that we might go free. And we think of Barabbas, Father, that man that was just at the very point of death. Sin had controlled his life. Sin had taken over, Father. And yet to think there that through the substitute of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice that Jesus made, that man could go free. And Father, we thank you for the freedom that we can know tonight through the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made at Calvary. If anybody here doesn't know that freedom, if anybody has never experienced the liberating power of the Lord Jesus Christ, may they know it tonight, Father. May they know their sins forgiven. May they know the power of sin diminished, Father. May they know the joy of having their sins forgiven and living their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. We do ask and pray. So we give you thanks for this time spent together under your word and ask your blessing upon us as we part, as we ask it.